This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 313. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
The name is Grayson, Dick Grayson. The real birds are back. San Diego, meet Harley, a tale of two Trek gimmicks, and industry news. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, July 20th, 2014. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out our Tumblr at tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. We have 2 weeks to cover with the comics, so let's get started.
I was gone.
Yep.
We couldn't do a show.
That's right.
Now I'm going to let you start.
Okay, let's get started with Grayson Number 1 by Seeley N. King. So Dick gets a new series post Forever Evil, now that everyone knows he was Nightwing, but apparently that doesn't exclude you from being a spy.
You know, that's the thing. Now, isn't he supposed to be, like, really recognizable? Wouldn't you think that people would recognize him as Dick Grayson?
One would think.
And he's still using the name Dick Grayson.
Yeah. And I realized as I was reading this, this is Dick's Diana Prince moment when she lost her powers in the 1970s and became this karate-wielding spy. The idea of just, like, okay, there's no more costume and now you're just going to have spy adventures.
Yeah. It is very similar to that.
We can skip the first few pages as they were plastered all over DC as a preview.
All over DC.
There's various spies on a train and a mysterious fat guy they all want. There's a paralytic agent in the wine fighting on top of the train, of course. A guest appearance by Midnighter. I don't know if it's a guest or maybe he's going to be a semi-regular since there's no more Stormwatch title to be talking about.
And this is an entirely new organization here, this Spiral, right?
From what I read, it was referenced in Batman Incorporated, but very obliquely. So it turns out the fat guy is smuggling alien tech inside his body. There's mind wiping and bizarre technology and a shot of hunky Grayson working out.
I'm surprised we didn't see him on the salmon ladder.
Oh, and Spiral knows who Batman is. Shouldn't everyone by now know who Batman is, especially after Forever Evil?
I don't know how you could not guess who Batman was.
It's like people in the DC Universe, apparently, 2 plus 2 equals, what is it? I don't know.
You have to be a super genius like Lex Luthor to figure it out.
Yes. Batgirl number 33 by Simone and Pissarin. So the internet was exploding this past week. Simone is out from the title. There's a new creative team with a less dark direction and a brand new costume for Batgirl. And apparently this is what Simone wanted to do, but she wasn't allowed to do so because of all the crossovers. It had to be this brooding, dark title that tied into everything going on with Batman. They've kicked her out, and now they're going to do what she wanted to do in the first place.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. So she does take this opportunity to bring back the real Birds of Prey of Batgirl, Black Canary, Huntress. Babs doesn't take kindly to Helena and beats the crap out of her because she's convinced she's related to Nightfall.
But this is still Helena from the other Earth, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. This is probably one of her last opportunities to do something with the Earth One heroes because in the World's Finest title, they just went booming back to Earth Two.
Right.
So Dinah talks her out of beating up Helena. They go to fight Nightfall again. There's plans and counterplans. The birds are outnumbered. So Babs calls in everyone, apparently including Bruce. And this is, again, Simone's chance to use all of her characters before she moves on. And in fact, there's even a reference to one of the characters from the movement, which was her other title that got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's a secret coming, because in her Twitter, there was a reference, like, the word secret was like 6 times used in a Twitter message, as in secret six.
Ooh.
So maybe she's going to be back doing something else. Let's hope so. Harley Quinn Invades SDCC Special by Connor Palmiotti and Pope, Garen, Scott, Campanella, Timms, Faia, Johnson, and Rue. So this was basically an excuse for a jam issue and an easy promo for San Diego Comic-Con, which is next week.
One thing I thought was interesting through the whole issue, of course, and they couldn't have done it, was you never saw anyone in a Marvel costume.
Right.
Or...
Yeah. It's like in Big Bang Theory. There's never, they refer to Marvel characters, but when they go to the comic book shop, there are no Marvel comics there.
Right.
Harley is helping out her circus geek friends to sell t-shirts at the show, which gets her a pass into the show and gets her into a lot of trouble. She's also there to show off her portfolio of this disgusting vomit-based heroin that we see about 5 pages of.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of insider San Diego jokes, of course. She keeps seeing celebrities, and she explains who they are in these compressed balloons going a mile a minute. It's like, oh, and it was this guy, and he was with this, and then at the end, I love that guy. They did that about 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
She finds a room full of jokers and has some fun there. She parties with a group of Harley cosplayers. She steals the Batmobile and finally meets Bruce Timm and Paul Dini, who, of course, are her creators from the Batman Adventures cartoon. Then she steals a pile of comics, just happened to be one she was in. There are various DC editors and artists included, including DiDio and Lee. There's a huge amount of geeks in the background throughout, as you mentioned. You keep seeing all these DC characters and really obscure DC characters. It was a very cute issue, and again, basically just an excuse to do a jam issue with Harley Quinn, whose title is doing very well right now. I could have done with less vomiting.
You know, it was okay, I guess. I'm still not a big fan of this comic at all.
Yeah, when you pick up her comic, you know what you're in for, though.
Yes, this is true.
Well, I wanted to cover a tale of two Trek gimmicks. Star Trek Ongoing number 35 by Johnson and Chasten, and Star Trek Special, Flesh and Bone, by Tipton, Tipton, Sharp, and Sharp. That's not me stuttering. There are the two Tipton brothers and the two Sharp brothers who worked on this. IDW has held the Star Trek license for quite a while now, and they took the J.J. Abrams movie continuity and then wrote issues that fit original series episodes into the Abrams continuity, which I really enjoyed. And they did that for quite a while, and then they kind of abandoned that idea.
Well, really, when this second movie came out.
Yeah, but again, I don't see why they couldn't have just continued on that route. They were doing a really good job. I don't think so much anymore, because the ongoing issue introduces Q, who drops by Picard to chat, and Picard is now ambassador to Vulcan. This is post all the movies, all the next-gen movies.
Right.
Q tells him Spock is alive, and he is in the Abrams continuity. Picard won't have any of it because he doesn't want to know about alternate worlds or anything like that. And so Q drops by Kirk and Company, the Abrams Kirk and Company, which now officially puts a link between the two continuities.
Mm-hmm.
And whips up a Kobayashi scenario to show Kirk he can't always work his way out of things. And then he shows Kirk his own death from the last movie, but then proceeds to throw the Enterprise forward in time and space to what is either DS9 or Tarek Nor.
Right.
And I say Tarek Nor because it appears to be Cardassian ships coming out of the station and not Federation ships. My concern is there's just too many crutches here. Just do the Abrams stuff. The idea of going back to Q, to Picard, to DS9.
Well, do you think that maybe they just weren't selling well or getting a good reception or something? I mean, I thought those first few were really good, where they just took an episode and redid it.
Right.
But then with the second movie, where they took the Khan episode and just totally trashed it.
Right.
I don't know, maybe they thought, hey, if the movie can do it, the comics can do it too.
Yeah, I suppose. But I just wish they would have continued in that existing direction. And then the special brings together all the doctors, kind of shades of Doctor Who, but it's all explained because there's a Starfleet medical conference. There's this mysterious illness. Crusher, Pulaski, and Bashir are on their way there. And frankly, Bashir has very little to do in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
He has like two lines. They work with the emergency medical hologram that's on the space station where this mysterious illness is going on. And of course, the hologram is the doctor from Voyager. They track the illness back to the original series where they and they go to find McCoy, who's still alive somehow.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay, I can quasi-buy that McCoy was still alive at the beginning of Next Generation because he's in the pilot.
Yes.
But he's incredibly old at that point. And this is now like 10 plus years later.
Yes.
And yet he's still alive.
Yes.
And still practicing medicine. McCoy tells them a story from the original series that involved the Tholians and another improbable Dr. Phlox from Enterprise.
Enterprise, yeah.
Okay. They collectively save the day after a lot of gyrations in order to bring all these characters together.
I just hate it when writers feel the need to try to show intergenerational links between things or bring stories together that have no need to be brought together.
Right.
You know, you could have written this story. It would have been a very good story with having one of the Star Trek doctors.
Or I'm okay with having Pulaski, Crusher, and Bashir together because it all makes sense. They would know and see each other.
Yeah.
But past that, no, these other characters really don't interact. Maybe the hologram I might buy, but definitely not McCoy. Definitely not Phlox.
Yeah.
Well, a few industry notes. DC announces multiple new series. They've got to replenish the stock to get back up to 52 titles, I guess. Clarion the Witch Boy, who's a title that they've... I don't know if he's ever had an ongoing. This is a character I think was introduced back in the old Showcase. A new Lobo title with both Lobo and what they're now referring to as Phobo. So both of them will be in the title. A new Trinity of Sin title that's going to consolidate some existing titles that are being canceled. Sensation Comics, which will be a Wonder Woman digital first book. It'd be similar to Adventures of Superman.
And hopefully it's outside of continuity and more like of an all-ages book. I would love to see a Wonder Woman all-ages.
Yeah, we'll see what they do with it. There's Arkham Manor, where Wayne Manor is turned into an asylum, like a mental asylum. Gotham Academy, about a Gotham prep school, because God knows we need more Batman titles.
Yes, that just goes along with Green Lantern titles. Hey, there's no new Green Lantern titles.
Yeah,
what's the deal?
Meanwhile, Marvel had two big announcements, both pre-San Diego. There's a new Thor in town, and it's a woman. And this was announced on The View to an audience that like had no idea what they were talking about. And Falcon will take Captain America's place. So he will become the new Captain America. And because it was announced on the Colbert Report, there was the art of Stephen Colbert being the new Falcon.
Oh, jeez.
And of course, next week will be all San Diego all the time.
Do you wish you were going to San Diego?
No, it is too insane. It's all, we've talked about this so many times. It's all corporate. Comic books have been pushed way back into the back corner, literally. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, I will push the button and we will start. Go.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
Is it one movie?
Yes.
Is it a movie that's out?
No.
So it's a movie coming out?
Yes.
This year?
No.
No. Is it genre related?
Yes.
Is it supernatural related?
I don't think so.
Not like vampires
no.
or werewolves or
no.
things like that. Okay. Is it superhero related?
Yes.
It's too early to really be doing stuff about the DC movies because they're 2 years out.
True.
So it must be a Marvel movie.
Yes. Yes.
So it must be Avengers 2.
Continue.
Okay, so is it Avengers 2?
Yes.
Okay. So it's, let's see. So who are they going to put on the cover? It's probably Iron Man and Captain America.
Indeed. And then a bunch of people in masks and makeup.
Okay.
So.
Robert Downey Jr.
And. Do you remember?
Oh, who's the guy playing? I keep coming up with Steve Rogers, which is not right. I know. Well, it is right, but it isn't.
It's okay. I won't make you guess Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, that's it.
Well, you did pretty good with that one.
Well, I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.